Yeah.
You want me to introduce him?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
You got a mic there?
No, I don't know where the mic is.
I heard that.
Was there a mic on the table?
I've got a handheld.
John, he's got the handheld.
I've got the handheld, so he's like, put here.
Can I have the handheld? We need to. We'll give this back to you once Andrea, okay?
Could I have everybody's attention, please? We have with us Mr. Brett Humphrey from Microsoft, who is going to talk about the newly improved narrator program. So, without further ado, would you please give him your full attention? Thank you.
Just take the mic, give the mic to Brett. We'll give the mic to Brett.
Well, first of all, thanks everybody for showing up. I'm going to give you a quick bit of background on, as many of you know, we've been working on Narrator for a while, and our goal really for the past 6 months is really to engage on a few very specific areas around Narrator. One is really about performance and responsiveness. It's been a common theme, like, hey, it doesn't read fast enough, and its responsiveness is pretty slow, so we spent a lot of time working on performance. We focused on some improvements, particularly around keyboarding. A lot of feedback on, hey, I'm used to some custom, or used to common keys like K for link and H for header. Like, could you guys please do that? And also just on the web, I'd love to be able to use the arrow keys up and down so I can just arrow through my content. And we actually took that a step further, and you can actually arrow through any app now in the OS, so I'll demonstrate that as we go along. And then also around the keyboarding, we did some work for ergonomics that at first seem subtle or like, why did you do that? And I'm going to walk through that a bit as well around control and alt and arrow keys when you're on the web. That's kind of part of scan mode. And we put in a lot of work on new voices. So we have new voices that'll do about 800 words a minute. So it'll go pretty fast. And in working with that team, I think we have 12 total new voices. For six countries. I don't know the exact number, and we have more of those coming online. And so I was just going to go through and do some demos, and we did some of the work on punctuation as well and verbosity, so you can kind of tune things a bit depending on what you're reading and what you're sending out, so you can hear more information. So that's kind of the plan. Do you have any questions before I start?
Yeah,
go ahead.
We need a mic. Oh, just a second.
Yep, sorry.
Just one thing that I've noticed, unless I've missed it, that the current version of Narrator doesn't have a text file that you can search for, so you've got to sit there and listen to all the commands if you're looking for something?
Correct. One of the things we are working on that will ship soon is an updated set of documentation, so they can actually just read through it like a web page and a file, so that is coming. Yeah, because listening through the commands is a bit long. You can try to search them to narrow them down, but it's just not effective, and so we will be, we'll have some new documentation coming shortly.
Any other questions?
Will that documentation be an automatic update, one of the updates with Windows 10, or is there a place to go download it from?
Both. So when that comes out, we'll send out a blog post on it so you can know where to go look at it and read it offline if you want. And that will be in the OS as well. So
another question. It's not in the current build.
The new documentation is not in the current insider builds. It's coming soon. So when will this update come?
Alina was going to ask you, did you have any questions for the person at Microsoft?
The updated documentation should come within the next few weeks.
In fact, a few people have already previewed it
externally, and so there'll be more coming.
Cool. And when does the update you're going to show today? Is that the August 2nd update?
Okay. All right.
Not quite. It's close. What I'm running today is very similar to the insider build that's available today for the public to look at.
Are folks
familiar with the insider builds?
I'm in the insider build.
Are you going to make I have one question.
Well, wait, guys.
Guys, please.
I'll try to ask that question.
Okay.
We have one of our board members that would like to ask a question over the phone. Go ahead, Arlene.
Hey, At some point, will Narrator become as powerful with some of the features that we find in screen readers?
For the room, the question was, hey, will Narrator become as powerful as some other screen readers that are shipped today? And our goal, really, over the next year to 2 years is, what does it mean to make Office fully usable? So our goal is to go make this as something you can use daily and to be able to trust it and use it and rely on it to do your job and to do your work. So we recognize that's going to take some time, but it's certainly one of the things we're looking at.
Anything else?
Richard, did you have a question?
Okay.
Can we get a mic to Richard? Wait, let's get a mic down to Richard.
Get a mic to Richard.
Yeah, hang on.
And then I'd like to get it.
There you go.
There you go, sir.
Just. Oh, no, I'm going to ask him if that's, that those informational pages are in his current insider build on the program.
No.
Okay.
No, currently the updated documentation is not in the insider build. Wow, we're getting some awesome AV here. Real-time AV.
We can.
Should be able to find out.
It's really my computer.
I'm going to go back to my computer.
It's coming through. It's just super bright.
There it is. Can you go higher than that?
Yeah. Word 2000. Command prompt 406. PowerPoint 2106.
Good. That's Narrator?
Yep.
Dremble.
His voice sounds a lot better.
All right. Okay. So, awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, let me just take that one.
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah.
Can
everybody hear it well?
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. Love it. Thank you so much. Thank you for your patience as we got that hooked up. Really appreciate it. Thank you for the questions. So, yes, documentation coming soon. This is effectively the currently released Windows Insider build, and we'll start. Oops.
What's that?
It's got some taping going on behind you.
Windows Insider.
Go ahead, sorry.
You talking about Windows Insider?
Oh, yeah, awesome. Thank you. So the Windows Insider program that anybody can sign up for, and then what happens is about weekly, you'll get a new build, and so it'll automatically put new builds on your system. And so there's what we call a fast ring and a slow ring. You can get stuff weekly or something, or stuff monthly. And so what we do is we build Windows 10, we just ship it to the public to use. And so we'll take feedback as you go. And so we'll talk about some of those feedback mechanisms as well that are actually built into Narrator. For example, if you're frustrated, you can hit CAPS-E twice and you can tell us some data. It comes back through our telemetry and you can kind of give us feedback on the fly. And there's also a bunch of forums where you can go post information and we'll respond to those and work on it. So you can really help us build the next version of Windows kind of in real time. So you basically get weekly to monthly updates, kind of your choice on how fast you wish to take those updates. Does that help? All right. Well, I'm going to start where everyone wants to start for Windows, and that's at the Start menu.
Windows Start window, search box, editing.
So the first thing you might notice is when I was arrowing up and down, I'm going to arrow up and down right now for you.
Down arrow. Immersive Office launched. Lineup most outward. What suggested group? Weather. Six of PowerPoint 2016. Five.
Can you
six.
Slow that down just a tiny?
Dremble.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to ask about.
I'm sorry. It's
no
just
problem.
Caps
lock. Speed decreased to 50%.
So I want to talk about really quick, because I'm going to run the speed up just so you guys can hear kind of the new tuned voices.
Yeah, you can't.
Speed decreased to 65%. Speed decreased to 60%. Speed decreased to 55%. Speed decreased to 50%.
What keystroke do you use for that?
So I'm doing caps lock plus and minus.
Okay.
And so what we've done is that there are new sets of voices that are new in Windows 10 that are tuned for high rate. And so it's a great place for you to love your feedback. Are they clear? Do you like them? This is what's called Mark Mobile. And that's his name. There's a few others that we have. But in that, We'd love to hear your feedback, and like, is it clear? Do you like it? We had some great early feedback from Insider Builds about vowels not being as loud as some other consonants, so we've been tuning that and working on it with that team. So the more you listen, the more we can get feedback from you. It'd be awesome. Think it sounded pretty good? Awesome.
I wouldn't put it past 60%.
Yeah, well, we've had some feedback where folks actually, we have a user internal that's at about 85-90%.
Oh, wow. I don't know how they would interpret it.
Make you hyper.
Yeah, and so it's one of the things where you have feedback where folks are like, hey, your voices are just not as fast as Eloquence or even the max speed on some other devices, and so we really spent some time tuning that. All right.
Alarm C group. Windows, start window, search box, editing.
So I'm just going to do a quick search for top grossing movies.
P, mouse, top, G, G, t, space, F, O, I, E, S. Top grossing movies, install app, 1 of 6, selected.
So what you notice is that you heard it say 1 of 6 and then it's selected. And so I'm going to arrow down for a moment.
Top grossing movies, search the web, 2 of 6. Find results in web, 3 of 6. Top grossing movies of all time, search the web, 4 of 6, selected.
And so what we've done is that whenever we have a place where we can do auto-suggestion or suggestions in general, we've tied this into the system now, so it works here with the Cortana search. It will work in the weather app, which I'll demo later. The office folks hooked it up in Word, or sorry, in email. So when you're typing in a name, you'll hear all of this feedback. So it's an area where we really wanted to kind of tighten the loop on some very core scenarios to Windows, and search is one of those areas.
Shift. Enter. Bing.com. HTTP. Top grossing movies of all time.
Okay, so I open the web browser. For reference, I am using Edge, and there was a lot of questions about, well, where is Edge at and what's going on. So this build has a few issues, but we're working through them, but I want to demo today with Narrator. And what I'm going to do, actually, now that I'm on the web, I spoke a bit about scan mode. And so I'm going to enter that by holding on the caps lock key and pressing space.
Caps lock. Scan.
So when it says scan, you know you're in scan mode. It immediately allows me to start using the down arrow key, so I'm just going to press the down arrow a couple times.
Blank. Go to Bing homepage image. Go to Bing homepage to press space to edit. Search button. Blank. 53,900,000 results.
So I'm like, well, how about I just jump to the first header? So I'm just going to, now that scan mode's on, H will jump me to a header. So let's do that.
Heading level 2 all-time worldwide box office grosses.
So one of the things that we've done is that the default verbosity will tell you heading levels as you jump around.
Heading level 2 list of highest grossing films, Wikipedia, the free.
And now since I'm in scan mode, what we've done is we've allowed space to do the primary action, whatever control you're on. So I'm just going to go ahead and press space.
List of highest grossing films, Wikipedia, the free, link. Tooltip, https://en.wikipedia.
Okay.
List of highest grossing films, Wikipedia, the free.
So now I'm just going to press H to jump into the first header.
Heading level 1 list of highest grossing films.
And so what we know is that folks also want to jump by lines and paragraphs, and so P will take you to the next paragraph.
From Wikipedia, the jump to navigation link. A screen cap of the title card from the trailer of Gone with the Wind. Gone with the Wind held the record. Films link generate income.
So as I press P, it's going forward and backward. But we also know that folks really love to use arrow keys as if they were in an editor. And so what I can do right now is I can just continue to press the down arrow key, and as I go down each time, it will just read a line at a time. So I'll just press down.
Earnings are the primary metric for trade publication.
I'll press down again.
Compared to sales figures for the nominal in.
So as I keep pressing down each time, it'll just go line by line. But also in Word editors, when you do left and right, it'll just do character by character.
O-M-I-N-A-L.
Or if I want to jump by word, I'm going to hold down the control key and press the right arrow key.
And real value space of there. Revenue.
Same thing, if I hold the control key down and press down arrow key, I'll jump by paragraph?
Traditionally, more films link, musicals link. While inflation link has eroded away the achievements of most
And then, along the same lines, if you hold down the alt key and move up and down, you'll jump by header. And then left and right will take, and left and right will take you by link. And we did that because for most web browsing and words that your Word documents that you're working in, you generally will jump by word and paragraph and headers. And so we've made it so that you can actually just keep your left hand on the control and alt keys, use the arrow keys to move around and spacebar to activate what you're on. And so it makes it very easy to keep your hands in one place and effectively get through a document pretty quickly. I'm going to jump down a little further for a moment.
Heading level 2 highest grossing films.
And below this, there's a table, so I'm just going to press T and jump into the table.
Highest grossing films 13, table, columns rank peak title worldwide gross year reference, S, contains 51 rows.
So when I jump to the table, we're going to tell you table information. Now I'm still in scan mode, so I'm going to hold down the control and alt key and use the arrow keys, and now we'll be able to move cell by cell.
Alt, table highest grossing films, column header rank, column header peak, avatar, header item, row header, column header, title, Titanic, header item, row header,
so let's
Titanic,
go over,
link.
So let's go over and see what the Titanic made.
Row header Titanic, column header worldwide gross, 2,186,772,302.
Woo! So, a lot. But I was able to do that just by pressing T to jump into the table, told me the basic table information. I'm still in scan mode, hold down the control and alt key, and I can quickly now move through the table and through the cells. And you noticed as I changed rows and columns, we would tell you the row change and a column change. We didn't tell you both, we just would tell you the change based on which direction you're going. So it should help you, by default, really get into the information you need to move around the lab and do the work. Are there questions? I see.
Yeah. So,
wait, I just want to ask.
Okay.
Love taking questions as we go, so thank you for being an awesome, active audience.
First of all, this is very cool. Really glad you guys are doing this. Neat stuff. Scan mode. You went into scan mode. Does that stay active until you turn it off? Or is it every time you load a page, you have to go into scan mode?
Awesome question. So scan mode, if you alt-tab away from your app or do basically a significant context change, it will automatically turn off. Or you can press cap space and it will turn off. So it's an area where we'd love feedback. Some folks have opinions about it. They want it always on, always off. And so having feedback as we go forward is great. But for today, if you change and you alt-tab to an app, it will turn it off.
I just wondered, it's Susan Thompson here, I just was interested in listening to that table, obviously without kind of sitting with my own hands on the keyboard, etc. It was a bit confusing.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be interesting to see when I get to play with it, you know, how that operates. But I particularly wanted to ask whether in fact there's an option to get to a certain point in a web page or a document and do read all to the end.
Yes. Today, a narrator, that would be caps M to read to end of document. So yeah, it'll continue to read through the entire document for you.
You said caps M?
Caps lock and M.
Oh,
as
M
in move to the end.
Oh.
So, and those are things that we're going to continue to evolve. So part of scan mode today, we want to continue to figure out, well, what are the next steps? So one thing I want to be very clear on is that we are on a journey. And what's really nice about having the Windows Insider builds and Microsoft as a whole shipping software more frequently, our ability to take your feedback and really understand your top 1, 2, 3 things that you'd like us to fix next really helps us continue to prioritize as we go through release by release.
Well, a lot of people are used to JAWS and WindowEyes and those keys. I don't even know how to start Narrator, how do you find it? You've made it so complicated.
Windows N.
But I mean,
sure.
Are you?
Sorry.
Huh?
Yeah. Windows Enter.
So there's a couple things on starting. That's great feedback. Like, hey, you know, go ahead. Sorry,
I wonder. No, I mean, are some of those key commands, will you be able to, because someone say, you know what, I'm so used to the JAWS key commands, or I'm so used to WindowEyes, can I just use those same keys with the built-in narrator? Is that going to be, or is that proprietary to those particular screens, and you're not able, I thought they were open, but I could be wrong.
So a couple of things. It's a great question, really. You know, how do we go forward? Could I have my options to turn on JAWS keys or window eyes keys?
Do you have to learn the whole new key command?
Correct. So you don't have to learn new key command. So the design of scan mode is we kind of took the pieces that fit that were common, like H for header, K for link, and we have plans to do that in the future. There's an interesting intersection of those. For example, in some of the screen readers, you have an expectation of how it might read or the block of size that it might read. And so that might vary, but it is certainly something we're going to continue to work on. For now, again, our focus was performance, start to get the better keyboard ergonomics down. But yeah, we've heard the feedback, and it's certainly on our list of things to do in the future. That's a great, great question.
I have a question.
I'll be back just a second. Yeah, Susan, go ahead.
Okay. Just a quick one, just as by way of, I guess, a suggestion.
Sure.
That some careful thought be given to the mnemonics and the logic of what keystrokes that you use. Because sometimes it's like, well, why was that letter chosen? It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
And I'm not thinking of any, well, even M for more to read all doesn't make sense to me.
I agree. So that is part of it. Like, that's part of the journey. So we took the first steps with mnemonics by, when you're in scan mode, H for header, K for link, and so forth. So we started that journey, and we'll continue down that road as well as we go forward.
I have a question.
I have the mic.
The mic's in the back of the room, but I think you might be next.
Again, on the scan mode, one very specific question, but then a more general question. You said you're in scan mode, you alt-tab away, you're automatically out of it.
Correct.
When you alt-tab back, do you have to turn it back on? That's one question, but the more bigger question is, why did you have to have a scan mode that you have to manually turn on when you get into the internet? You know, in JAWS and NVDA, when you're in there, you're automatically in a virtual mode. Is there a reason, if I'm a screen reader user, I would want to be in the internet and not be in this scan mode?
Yeah, that's a great question. We looked at doing that. What we found, and what I'll demo in a minute, is this actually works anywhere. So it works on the start screen to help make it easier to get through. It works in the apps and on the web. And so it's been feedback that we're looking at, and really one of the things that we wanted to do a better job of is really being able to have it on where you want it on and leave it in that mode. It's just we didn't get as far as we wanted, so we're going to continue to work on that over the next few months. So it's in our list of things to continue to work on. By default, we didn't turn it on. We could. We just haven't yet.
A question up front here. This is Frank from Massachusetts. Some screen readers have the ability to do a page summary, which is good for someone who is totally non-visual. It gives you orientations up to the page. Like, for instance, this page has X number of links, X number of headings. Is there any plans to implement anything like that?
Certainly, it's been a request we have, and it's in the queue. We're exactly getting into it next. I'm not sure. I do want to make sure that we have time to continue through the rest of the work as well. So if we have more questions specifically around web, I'm happy to talk about those more towards the end. I want to make sure we also talk about some of the other pieces as well. Unless there was one question up front of the table, though, that I want to make sure
I'll try to be really quick.
Don't be quick. I think maybe what Renee was driving at, in screen readers, you have screen reader specific commands, but you also have Windows commands, things like Alt-End that takes you to the bottom of the page, or I'm a little rusty on these things. Control A to highlight all. Are those commands still germane?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that, Renee, kind of what you were
looking for? Kind of, yeah. Okay. Because you can read all, you know. Okay. You know,
right.
M doesn't mean a thing.
I gotcha.
Yeah, definitely. We need to continue to work on better mnemonics. Okay. I want to continue on. If that's okay, I want to continue on, and then we can come back to more questions.
Questions you want to continue on?
Great.
Okay. Yeah, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
When Cortana Window, search box, editing. H, weather, trusted Windows Store app, 1 of 5, selected. And weather, Seattle, WA, current condition, 58 degrees, Fahrenheit selected. Press to change to Celsius button, cloudy, updated as of 1:14 p.m., feels like 58 degree.
Okay, so that's when it just opens. I'm going to go over here and pick a different city.
Refresh app bar button, add to favorites app bar button, more app bar, search, editing.
Pick a town, anybody?
Boston.
Okay,
caps lock plus down arrow to change to suggestions view. Caps lock plus down arrow. Bostetter, Maryland, United States, one of two, selected. Boston, Massachusetts, United States, two of two, selected.
So again, you notice that as I was typing, it would inform me that there are options, and again, as I arrow down, I know there's two of two, so I can tell, well, how far do I have to arrow down, and we'll tell you as we go. So let's do that.
Enter. Boston, MA, current condition, 72 degrees, Fahrenheit selected.
So now what I'm going to do here is also turn on scan mode.
Scan. Search button. Custom. Boston, MA. Current condition, 72 degrees, Fahrenheit selected. Partly sunny. Updated as of 1:15 p.m. Feels like 72 degrees. Wind direction, west, 4 miles per hour. Visibility 10 meters. Barometer 29.73 in.
And again, as I mentioned earlier, when I arrow left and right, which I'll do right now, we'll go character by character.
Capital B-A-R-O-M-E-T-E-R.
So again, what we're trying to do with scan mode work is that this is under the hood, this is a Windows Universal app. This runs on the XAML framework. But you as the end user really don't have to know the difference between am I a XAML app or am I on the web or what's going on. And so our goal really is to continue to unify that from a usability perspective. So any app that shows up, you're like, wow, it's a new Windows app. Do I really want to use it? How do I look around and find out what's going on? Turn on scan mode, press the down arrow key, and you can get through all of the items. Some questions? Sorry.
Okay.
I paused like there was a question.
Go ahead. You got questions? No, no questions.
No questions. Okay.
Task switching window, list of highest grossing, inbox, Outlook, inbox, Outlook, mail window, Windows gaming on Windows 10 just got a whole lot better June 17, 2016. Anywhere is a great place to play. Introducing Xbox Play Anywhere. Now when you purchase it.
Okay, so this is the built-in email app, and I'm just going to go over and jump into this mail for a second.
Message.
And what I'm going to do actually is turn on a bit of verbosity for you.
Caps lock, verbose level 2.
So now I'm just going to have this read down to a document.
Caps lock. Anywhere is a great place to play. Underline, view as web page link. End underline. Windows 10 image link. This email has been designed to work with Windows 10 devices. Xbox Play Anywhere image. Bold. Anywhere is a great place to play. End bold. Introducing Xbox Play Anywhere.
So one of the things to notice at the next verbosity level, we didn't immediately are going to tell you about bold, underline, I'll tell you about italics. And the reason we did that is that there are common things that you find people do in email quite a bit to emphasize something. And so by default, we wanted it easy for you to just move up one verbosity level and hear and understand that, because there's context when people bold things, there's context when people underline things and italicize things. So we've kind of taken some of the verbosity pieces and said, hey, what's common to something you do every day? Do you do email every day? You get email from folks, and they will use bold, and they will use underline, and they will use italics. So it's one simple step to move that verbosity level up, and then you can move it back down if you want.
What was the key you used?
There's two ways to do it. Control-Alt, I'm sorry, caps lock plus Alt, and then plus and minus, or caps A, which was still there from Windows 8 days, will cycle also all the way through it.
I'm sorry, caps A does what now?
Caps A will also circle for verbosity. I know why A for verbosity, yes. But caps, control alt plus minus is one that will do.
It will go through all your possible settings.
Yes,
yeah,
that's
options.
Correct.
Thank you.
So I'm going to go to a different email.
Yeah.
Escape out of this.
Windows gaming on Microsoft Store 3 days. Microsoft account, team Microsoft account, unusual sign-in activity.
That was my unusual sign-in activity from this morning.
End message.
And the reason I want to do this is I'm going to change the punctuation mode.
Yeah, I got one of those yesterday too. What's that?
Caps control, verbose level 3.
Yes.
Alt, verbose level 2, verbose level 1.
Brett, how do you know?
Never mind.
Oh.
Okay. How do I know? I'm going to get a question too, anyway.
Yeah. Do we have a mic up here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure, you got a question.
Okay. I noticed it says verbose level, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. How do we know what each of those levels mean? Maybe that's a stupid question, but it doesn't really say what those level 2, level 3, what that means. I assume each level changes some things, or it's more or less explanation, but I'm not sure what that means.
Yeah, that's a very good point. We have some documentation that covers it, but basically, verbose level 0 is, I'm just going to read you text with nothing else. Verbose level 1 will tell you heading and a few other basic things if you're reading the web, and then 2 will do bold, underline, italics, what we call common format changes, and then as you increase, you will get layout information, and you'll get all sorts of foreground, background color. You're going to get styling information. Like, there's a huge amount of stuff. And so we broke them out in documentation. We expect most people to use 0, 1, and 2 for most daily use. The other ones are there if you need to do very specific editing of documents. And this is another area where we'd love feedback, because we're going to continue to evolve how verbosity works. Is it too many levels? Not enough? And your feedback around just saying, hey, can I get a better summary for what this verbosity level does would be great. So thank you for the question.
Caps, alt, math, sub, most, all, default.
So you can see with punctuation now, we have it set up for default, sum, most, all, and math. And so in math mode, we're going to read and translate everything to common math language. Sorry, I heard yay, and I heard something else over.
Yeah, similar to Jaws.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
No, I hope not.
What was the command you used?
The command, yes.
Caps lock, alt plus minus. Sorry, the verbosity is caps lock. Hang on, I'm not used to this keyboard. Caps lock, control, plus minus.
Alt, math, sum, most, scan, reply all button. Microsoft to 7 colon, micro to colon, breadthwist.
So what I'm doing right now is I turn down scan modes, I'm just going down line by line.
Message. Blank. Unusual sign hyphen inactivity.
So notice it said the hyphen.
Blank. We detected something unusual about a recent sign hyphen in to the Microsoft account. Underline. BR asterisk 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 at symbol outlook period. Com link. End underline. Period. To help keep you safe, comma, we required an extra security challenge, period.
And so I'm going to go back and read that without the punctuation.
Caps lock, alt, sub, math, default. We detected something unusual about a recent sign-in to the Microsoft account. Underline, br@outlook.com link. End underline. To help keep you safe, we...
And so you could tell that there's a significant part of that email address that wasn't read because of the asterisks and other components. So it just hit BR, kind of would ignore the asterisks. And so it gives you a way that you can go ahead and just hear some of those pieces that may be important to you and kind of move those up and down. And you notice I had it intermixed also with verbosity, so you heard underline. As we keep going, you'd hear bold and other styling information for bold, underline, and italics as you move through the document. So it kind of really helps you tune based on one, what are you writing and sending? Is it important that you bolded something? Is it important that you underline something? So you can kind of hear through it. You can check your punctuation level if you wish. And then also, if you're reading somebody else's document, you can know where they bold, underline, and add punctuation.
All right. Start window, inbox, outlook, mail window.
Do you have more questions from here? There are a bunch of questions from earlier, so I'm happy to take questions right now.
Any questions? I got hands everywhere. Hang on.
Awesome.
We just
went with. So I'm a little confused what mail program you're using, because
Oh, too many questions. Hang on.
I was just to clarify what mail program you're using, because you said something about...
Could you guys please mute your phones?
You guys said something about using the Windows Mail, but I'm hearing Outlook.
It is the Windows Mail client that shipped with Windows 10, so it is the Outlook Mail client. So it is not the desktop Outlook Mail client. Okay. But they've done a bunch of work in that as well, and that's a conversation that's...
It almost sounds like Outlook, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Well, it is. So how do I disambiguate this? It is made by the same Outlook team.
Okay,
so the Outlook desktop team, and then they also make an inbox version. And so it has, I mean, the Outlook desktop has lots and lots of features. This is really focused on, hey, I'd like to read email. And so they have a lot of similarity. So okay, great question, observation.
It's a smaller version.
I have a question about the math.
Yes.
How does the math have to be rendered in order to read it? Can I use math type and have it come out and then to change that graphic? Will it read the actual graphic mathematics? NVDA will.
So a couple of things. Let me walk through that. Today, the punctuation for math really is about symbol level, character level thing. So if it's written in a way that it's an actual character in the content, it will. Nerd does not yet read MathML.
Okay, so it doesn't read the MathML yet. That's fine.
Correct.
And I have one more question, which might be a little off topic, but when you search with Cortana, it opens up Edge. Is there any effort to let it open up your default browser and give us the answer there?
Yeah, actually, you can change your default browser in the settings.
Well,
even from
my default browser is changed, but if I search in Cortana, it doesn't come up in my default browser. It always opens Edge. Is there something I'm doing wrong?
That's a great question. I don't know. I'll have to look into that for you.
Actually, you mean it opens Bing.
Mine opens Edge.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have to look into it. I don't know. It's a great piece of feedback.
And then when I called Microsoft Accessibility, they said, yeah, they're working on that, and it's a problem. Because if I search for something on the web, and I search through Cortana, Edge opens.
Yeah, that's great feedback. It's good that you called the disability answer desk. Is that correct?
I did.
Yeah, awesome. I do know that feedback gets to us, and I believe in Windows 10 today. I would have to try it. That you can switch it and it will accept that switch, but I don't know for sure.
Do I switch it in Cortana or somewhere else?
Oh, it's in the settings.
And. My default browser is Switch. That's IE.
Correct.
But it doesn't open in that if I go to the search box.
Okay. I'll have to look into it. I don't know what version of Windows you're on, and I don't know where it's fixed, but it's great. Okay.
Thank you.
That's great to know. Thank you for the feedback.
I'm on Windows 10, and I have 365. But do you have to pay extra for this that you're talking about right now, or I'm using it? Zoom text.
No.
Do you have to pay extra for this?
For which?
For what you're talking about.
No, narrator's free.
Narrator's free.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, will this work in all emails or will just some of them? Because I got CenturyLink.
And Zoom text has its own speed.
So, to the question about the built-in email client, you can connect to any email address. So, this one's connected to my Outlook.com account. I have it attached to a Hotmail account, so you can attach the email client to most backend, and it will read.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Hello, I'm David from Massachusetts again. One area that gives screen reader users a fair amount of headaches in the internet are form fields.
Yes.
Say a bit about how you can move around in Narrator with forms, you know, edit boxes and buttons and combo boxes and things like that.
A, I love the question. B, that's continuing work that needs to be done. So today, you don't have an option to say F jump to form field or to jump to input field or B to jump to a button. So that's work that's in the queue for future. That's a great question. Thank you.
Oh, is there going to be screen magnification with the
Do you have a question for somebody?
Sure.
Is
Just a couple of quick things.
Okay.
Yeah, just a couple of really quick questions. It's been a little while since I've looked at the built-in mail client in Windows 10. Do you know, is there a command to quickly jump from, let's say you're in the middle of a message, like, you know, I'm looking at it as a low vision user, and usually you have like the message list on the left, and then you have the content on the right, kind of the side. To be able to, like, you're in the middle of the message, to just jump quickly back to the message list, quickly, just as like just your typical F6 kind of command, or
yeah, F6 is still there, so the F6 loop is in the mail.
Okay,
the network.
And just a real quick, totally different kind of question, but it's just a really quick one.
Yeah.
First, I do want to say that kudos for also having Windows 10, our narrator on Windows 10, but also with the Xbox. So I just wanted to mention that, and awesome. with the updates coming, do you know if the universal apps are going to work across those? You do more third-party stuff on the Xbox App Store with Narrator 2, just like you can in Windows 10.
Oh yeah, let me just address it in kind of a wider actually answer. Microsoft's goal is to have a single universal platform, and that those apps will run across all of those platforms. So today, Edge browser that's here is the same Edge browser that will be on the Xbox, and they will work and act and function as similarly as possible. So even, for example, if someone took an email client that is the same mail client and it ran on the Xbox, it would read it just like it would here.
So if you had like a third-party Netflix app or something? Just a second.
And then the question around third-party apps is a great question, like Netflix or those other apps. Those apps will still have to do the work to build them to be accessible. But it is the same underlying infrastructure across all of our platforms. So if, for example, Netflix built a universal Windows app that worked on the desktop, it would work on the Xbox, it would work on our mobile platform. So it would kind of run and work everywhere. So it is the same work, but they would still have to go do the work to make it accessible. They do very, very custom apps. And so any custom app, you have to do a little bit of work to make sure they're fully accessible. It's a great question. Thank you for noticing. We did the work on the Xbox. It's all about it.
Other questions? No hands? Okay. I don't see hands. Oh, there's one. Okay.
Hello, this is Jerry Wood. A lot of blind people these days have trouble with this tab browsing. Is there any solution to that with the any future with Windows 10 or anything solution for the tab browsing thing?
It's still there. I don't know that we've solved it yet. I would at some point like to have more feedback on what the issues are and so forth. I just don't know them off the top of my head.
Well, there's not a blind people have trouble with it.
Okay.
What does that mean?
Multi-tabs, having multiple pages open.
Yeah. Control tab.
Yeah. I see. So it's just how you
that might be a simple training issue regarding how to switch from one tab to another within the browser.
Can you show the other voices?
Know what he meant by tab.
Task switching, lint, narrator setting, general, navigation, voice, change the speed, voice speed, 50 per narrator settings window, voice pitch, 50, select a different voice, down here, Microsoft Mark Mobile, and select a different voice for narrator.
Select a different voice for narrator, Microsoft Serum Mobile, Inc.
Select a different voice for narrator.
Microsoft, I like that one.
Mobile, that's one I use.
Yeah. Editable combo box, Alt plus B.
So,
voice, change the speed.
How
are you changing the voices?
Oh, I'm in the narrator's control panel. So under narrator, I'll walk all the way back through for a moment.
Tap three times with four core top windows.
So if I'm just using Windows, we'll have the UI for narrator minimized by default.
Task switching window, narrator settings. Narrator settings window. Tap three times with four, general, change how narrator starts and other standard settings. Navigation, change how you interact with your PC using narrator. Voice, change the speed, pitch, or volume of the current voice or choose a new voice button.
The other option too is you can go into settings. So if I just go to
window,
Cortana.
Start window, G, settings, trusted windows, enter. Settings window, search box, find R. Six suggestions. Narrator settings, one of six, selected.
So one of the things I did is I went into the search box here in settings and noticed again the auto suggest was there. I told you the N of M, so the first thing we have, let's see what the other ones are.
Change how narrator reads hints for controls and buttons. Narrator settings, one of six, selected.
We'll jump to that.
And on, narrator, toggle switch. Listen updated, unknown key.
Oops.
Narrator,
That's that crazy function key. Anyway, if I do, I'm going to turn on scan mode too, because sometimes you tab around, there's things in between, like, oh, what are those things and how do I get to them? So I'm just going to walk through this really quick.
Scan. To turn narrator off with a touch screen, tap the narrator slider, and then double tap anywhere on the screen. Then double off. Start narrator automatically. Voice. Choose a voice. Microsoft Mark Mobile. English. United States.
So you can then still kind of arrow down through, get all the text in between. And again, you can select voices from there and speed from there. So both options are there. That's a great question. So yeah, there's three voices by default, two male, one female.
You just prompted me listening to this, Susan Thompson again.
Yeah.
The thing that would be really, when you were showing about the it was talking about turn on automatically, it would be really good if in the installation, narrator would come on automatically at some point.
You can have it do that.
It's better.
You can set it that way.
Yeah, you're talking about install the OS?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you can turn it on after a while of silence and it'll come on.
Well, it's got to get so much of the OS down so I can get to the...
Yeah, there are two stages to install,
okay.
But in, during...
My ignorance, obviously.
No. if it's a great point. We have had that feedback where, hey, I turn on a new machine I just bought, and I would love to have narrator start after a certain amount of time, and so it's great feedback, and we've been looking at that as well. We've been trying to focus on, again, performance, so people are like, hey, I love using it, and we'll continue to work on those pieces. The one thing to note, it did come up earlier, if you walk up to any Windows 10 machine, the Windows key plus enter will start narrator.
Yeah.
And so that's really important. Like if you're in a library, you're at somebody else's friend's computer, hold on the Windows key, press enter, and it'll turn on. Same thing, repeat it will turn it off.
Does Windows U still work too?
Sorry, there's a question about does Windows key U still work? The answer is yes.
Yeah, okay.
Is there any, this is Ron, is there anyone can talk about putting a dictation in if you want to use it or if you don't want to use it? Because you have that on the Apple phones and different things like that. So, but on the Apple phone, sometimes it isn't accurate. You have to change it manually, but you know, the spelling isn't exactly right or the words are
right. Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's one of the things that's also in our queue. Particularly for mobile, it's easier to do dictation than try to use a soft keyboard. So we certainly understand the value in that. But yeah, it's on our list of things to do.
How do you get narrator in Windows 7?
I got two questions going at once. I'll repeat the one question I heard at the table here. The question was, how can I get narrator in Windows 7? We're not actually retroactively putting the newer technology back down to Windows 7. So
the basic narrator is there.
Yeah.
There is a narrator there. It does some basic reading. It will not be as robust as this.
One thing that would be really nice and is really frustrating if, say, you're a JAWS user or something like that, that I hope you could fix with Windows, is whenever Windows updates are going, when you start your computer, you might be there in a half hour of silence, not knowing what's going on. There's, anyway, when there are updates, narrator could be telling us that.
Yeah, that's a great piece of feedback. Generally, no, because it really is updating the OS, and there's just graphics. But it's a great point. What can we do better to give you that feedback?
There is a point
too many questions at once. Hang on. Where are we at? Sorry, I'm happy to take the questions or comments. I just
Comments. Please raise your hand if you have questions here. Comments. He wants to raise his hand. Okay.
Richard. Oh, we got one at the end.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Actually,
there is a point, like when you're doing a major update, the computer will tell you, do not turn off your computer, you know, because it's processing the update. So it does give you information, and maybe not as much as you want, but it does give you something.
Yeah, it does depend on the stage. There are kind of three different versions of where that happens, so two of the three you can't get the information. But great question, great feedback. So can I, and then we have a couple of questions for the audience too. But,
again, it's a follow-on.
Yeah.
If the system is capable of putting graphics on the screen to indicate that an install is taking place, an update is taking place,
yeah,
I stand amazed that there's not a way for it to make a sound.
Yeah,
I have to talk.
No, I agree.
But make a sound.
Totally with you.
Like an old movie projector sound.
Noise or something.
Yep.
That lets us know we're not stuck.
Yeah. Yeah, there, it's yes, we certainly can in some places, and that's certainly been feedback that we've looked at, that we're looking at.
You said this morning that screen reader users would be able to upgrade automatically to 10. Did I understand that correctly?
Clint Covington spoke about that this morning.
Oh,
so,
okay. So it wasn't your fault then. Okay.
It's
the correct information.
Yeah, so...
So what I'm wondering about is that if this is such almost an all-inclusive screen reader, is some sort of documentation that we would need that kind of thing.
Exiting narrator.
Sorry about that. The documentation, I spoke about it earlier. In the next couple of weeks, there'll be updated documentation for Narrator that will be both online and in the OS as well. So, yeah, we're certainly working on it.
I have a quick question.
Sure. And then I want to complete one part of that. So for those of you that don't know today about Windows 10, Windows 10 is a free upgrade today. I don't know when that ends.
July 29th, that's what I understand.
But it's extended for the...
Oh, it's going to end?
Screen reader. But it's extended for...
Yeah, and for screen reader and accessibility.
Okay.
I
just want to make sure, like the general public has a free upgrade till when is it?
July 29th.
July 29th.
Anyone with AT, like a screen reader.
Correct. That's why I wanted
extended.
Yes, and then there's a program that will put in place about extending it to those that have screen.
End of July. So we'll be posting out a update at the end of July for folks that want to upgrade later that use assistive technology. So that'll be coming through our blogs and through the upgrade site.
Yep.
Okay,
so Brett, come on that.
Brett, my question is this, and the person that spoke to me about this is, I don't think is in the room, but the first night I was at the convention, I had someone extremely upset coming to me saying that Bits needed to address the fact that people are getting auto-updated to Windows 10, and I'd heard about this before. This wasn't the first time I heard. And then apparently there's a patch that exists, but I don't know if it's something Microsoft has put out to prevent those auto updates without somebody's knowledge and consent?
One great question. I've actually read the press about it. I don't know all the details. I do believe that that's been resolved.
Okay, that's great.
Good.
Because it can be a little scary if you don't know.
Yeah.
Yes, auto upgrades are...
Is there a question back there? I saw a hand a while ago.
So, if you have a question for the audience, did the work make sense to you that we did, like the performance?
Not really.
It seemed very clear when it started reading, everybody went, wow, that's Narrator. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious, just how you guys feeling are about it, yes. What you feel about it.
Okay.
It's good.
My feeling is, and I'll say, I've been using Mac computers, and I probably will download Windows 10 on the Mac computers because it seems like it's more stable on it. But no, I wasn't that impressed with the way Mark Mobile sounds. I like Alex because, and I think you need to know this, I mean, since we're comparing. For me, the way Alex, and that's Apple's screen reader voice, Alex breathes. The way he reads, it's easier for me to listen to a very long document, the way the pauses and inflections are there. I find that, yes, there are some convoluted things about voiceover I don't like that I liked when I was using well, JAWS, because that's mainly what I'm trained on.
Sure.
So I liked, if I could have the best of both. And for me as a partially sighted person, yes, I use everything. I use Braille, I use the magnification. And when I do use Windows, and that's usually on my husband's PC, I do use Zoom Text because magic with JAWS keeps crashing.
Okay.
So I say this to say that my experience so far with Windows is that on the Windows side, there are some things I want to use that are not that great using Apple, and the Fusion gets complicated. But Windows 10 does run better on an Apple than it does on a PC. You don't have that many.
I don't know about that.
Well, that's just my opinion. I'm not, you know.
Wait, Mike.
To
the audience.
Hello,
I think
until we actually play with it, you know, some of what you said was not clear, a little bit confusing to me.
Okay.
But probably once, you know, we play with it and get our hands on it, I think it may be more understandable and yeah. And that's just my comment.
Sure, it's a great comment. One thing to note is that tomorrow, although I don't know where, I think it's, I have to look it up, but anyway, there'll be an option in the morning for hands-on sessions.
The Bit Suite.
The Bit what?
That'd be in our suite.
Oh, yes, the Bit Suite, yes. Thank you. So everyone knows where it is. Great.
2432.
Okay.
2432.
In terms of feedback,
we are running it.
I have one comment reaction, but then also a question that would be part of the reaction. Yeah. When you said that, you know, you couldn't really use it with form fields in the way you can say use JAWS. For me, that's sort of telling me, at least initially, I wouldn't use this with the internet. But then a second thing that's sort of a question, I could see myself using this, at least initially, as maybe a troubleshooting type thing when something isn't working with JAWS. I'll just give you one example. PowerPoint 2013 and 2016, spell check doesn't work, period. And I might try using it and seeing if spell check with this works, but I don't know if it would. And there are a few other things that probably just don't work at all. But I'm just wondering if you have if it's possible that things are gonna work better in Office that don't work with external other screen readers simply because it's in Windows, but that's one thing I'd want to check. The things that just don't work right now, maybe they work with Windows with Narrator. I don't know if you could even answer that question.
Sure.
Now.
Yeah, I can actually answer a couple of things. One, thank you for the feedback on the web components and for browsing the web and wanting to be able to jump to Forms Field. It's feedback that we've had, and it's pretty much at the top of some of our work we're going to continue to do. So absolutely great to hear. Secondly, when it comes to the Office integration, we are working very closely with the Office team right now. But it is on the newer versions of Office. So the 2013 doesn't really support the underlying infrastructure to make Narrator work better.
But doesn't work in 2016 either?
2016 it will work. The basics of text editing will be there, but it probably will not have the desired outcome that you want, but understanding what that is and giving us feedback is great. And I actually work with the Office team quite heavily around what we're doing with Word, what we're doing with those apps in the future. So, and there's a representative here that's also from the Office team that we can connect you with as well. And he'll be with me tomorrow morning at the Bit Suite as well.
My name is Betsy Doan, and I want to congratulate you on your Microsoft on the work with Narrator. My sense is that the group is excited about the new Narrator. We heard the voices and we were, you know, really thrilled, and we know that there are exciting new features coming, and I think the sense of the group is that we're looking forward to Narrator being a real, you know, a lot more helpful. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
I just want to answer that, you know, kind of broad question you asked. I'm tracking Windows progress ever since, you know, the early beginnings of it as a DOS overlay. And this is leaps and bounds above anything that has happened from built-in accessibility. I just want to congratulate you on that and thank you for everything you're doing. I just want to put some specifics onto that. It seems like only a couple of years ago, I've been working with people with 286 computers with vocalized and double talk speech synthesizers. Yeah. So we've come a long way and we're going in the right direction. And I hope you take some of the suggestions, and I'm sure you do, that we all have very seriously, and try to wade through the complaints and just keep up with what you're doing, because you're headed in the right direction. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I had a question,
but
I forgot it.
I have 365.
Yes.
And what I noticed about it is for the labels, they're a lot easier to do than some of the other ones, like labor office or whatever. The labels come out great, and I like it a lot. But the only thing is, I have a little trouble with the email on Outlook. I have to call them and ask them how to set that up so I can transfer all my files, my contacts into that one, so I can use both of them. But it's really a worthwhile thing, the 365. And then I got the new version too.
Awesome. Yeah, the nice thing about that is that we continue to have updates and continue to get better. So I'm super excited about that work.
Okay, here's a tough question.
Love it.
But a comment. First, I took the one-on-one for 1 year at a Microsoft store. That really helped, you know.
Awesome.
So that's really a good way. And anything that can help on the internet for videos or, in our case, audio would be just great to have, just where you can play an audio and listen to it. But here's another question.
Yes.
How about the Windows Phone?
No, it's an awesome question. I don't find it tough at all. I love it. So first thing, when we spoke earlier about it being a universal platform, today the keyboarding work is on the phone today, so you can use Narrator just like you would on your desktop. A bunch of the apps have been updated, even from the last round, so music is more accessible, and just the web browser, that it is now becoming more accessible. So all of these apps follow all the way through, and that's where we see over the next 6 months, year, couple of years, that we have that multiplier effect, that we've already written it on one platform, we've got it working well on the desktop, it will run then to the mobile device, and then over to the Xbox. So I love the question.
Cool. Jim, I just want to echo what Frank was saying. I congratulate you guys. I think you guys are doing great work, and I just urge you to continue it. But it sounds like you guys are making some fantastic progress and doing some really good things. I work in a school with students, and I'm looking at this from a student perspective. I'm a student, and I'm using this. And one thing, feature you might want to think about doing is putting an option when that scan mode is on, changing your voice, so users immediately know when scan mode is on versus when it's off. Mm-hmm.
It's good. I love it.
Yeah,
it's really
similar
good.
To what the JAWS and PC cursor are.
Yeah.
Great. I love it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
See, people are used to JAWS.
Susan Thompson, I'm just wanting to get your thoughts about the way Microsoft is going forward in terms of when Microsoft-written applications are kind of progressively upgraded, and how that will be integrated with how it works with Narrator, so that we don't constantly have this catch-up problem. So something new comes out, and we've got to work towards getting that accessible.
Yeah, great question. So internally, there's been a lot of momentum inside Microsoft to continue to make all the apps accessible as we ship, and there's continued work. Even something as simple as the Maps app continues to evolve, and there's still more work to be done there. But their goal really is to continue to ship to make sure that the apps are accessible so that you can continue to evolve. Now, the challenge at times is that sometimes the way that app is laid out may change. And so that's why we spent quite a bit of time early on looking at things like scan mode and landmarks. By the way, they work not only in the web, but they also work in other areas of UI, so you can jump between major sections. And so we're really taking that and trying to level, hey, look, how do you move around an app to understand the major blocks? How do you get through all the data so you can, here's where this piece is or isn't? And so our goal is kind of twofold. Continue to build the apps, make sure that they're accessible when they ship. Because we ship more constantly, if there are major errors, we can update those quickly. And then when we look at Narrator, how do we continue to unify the Windows platform and the Windows app so that they all look and feel very similar, and that's super important to us. Not just that, take any look at scan mode, I have to learn how to do the web, which means that I can also learn how to get through any of the apps. And so our goal is really to reduce the learning curve all up. So those are kind of our two-fold plan. So plan to continue to ship and plan to continue to make those accessible. That's going to help you regressions once in a while.
Well, I kind of have a two-fold question, but I'll start with the part that's probably most important for most people. I know that in the past, a lot of blind people have used Skype, and it seems like it's went from accessible to less and less and less accessible. Mm-hmm. And it is a part of Windows, and I'm wondering if anything's being done to make that more accessible. And then my second little part is, if you have an old Skype name, why is it that Skype now doesn't want to take your old Skype name and insists it wants a new one?
Well, I'll start with the last one first. Great question. I don't know why Skype does that. I just don't.
I don't either.
Yeah, so, but that's a great question for the Skill Answer Desk. I don't know. The question around, is Skype doing work? Yep, you bet. They're doing a bunch of work. And they continue to do work. We have our representative who also is from office with us, and I know that he's been working on it, and I know I've also helped work with the Skype team on some specific issues. So, yeah, there's continuing work there, absolutely. I think we're close on time, 4 o'clock, right?
That's we got 5 minutes.
Yeah.
We're coming down the home stretch.
So, first of all, I just want to make a quick comment, though. I just really appreciate all the questions. I appreciate all the comments and feedback. You know, we're excited to get this out and get feedback. So please know that we are listening. We love the feedback. And as we continue to go forward, we're going to continue to try to do consistent blog posts. If you haven't read, we had a couple different blog posts over the past few months. One of them was on Edge accessibility. One of them was on Narrator. And there'll be some coming out around other products as we go forward. So really, us connecting that in, both through the ACB and yourself, we want to really start doing a better job of getting information so you can just hear at a more regular cadence what we're doing.
I have a suggestion.
Hey,
let me get the mic over.
Do you have the disability
number?
Do you have the disability number that Microsoft has for all the people that have disabilities, and you can give us cards or whatever?
I don't have the number nor cards, but I can get the information for you.
Yep.
In your blog, how do you get your blog?
The blogs right now come through the Windows Insider program.
We have one person with us with the Insider program back over in the corner.
I do have the phone number if you wanted to take it down. It's 1-800-936-5900.
Could that be in the window of the Narrator control panel?
You know what? If you type Microsoft accessibility, I'm bad too.
Okay.
If you type Microsoft accessibility into your search bar, it'll come up immediately. I mean, even on your Apple phone, if you type it in, because I don't have it written down anywhere, and I've probably done it half a dozen times, awesome. It comes up immediately. It's right at the top of your search.
Awesome. Any comments, questions, thoughts as we close the last few minutes?
The only question I have is
Mike.
The only question I have is Windows 10 regular or professional? Are there different flavors of Windows 10 that we need to be looking at? I just happened to think of that. I know that Windows there was a Windows Pro and a Windows, you know, home use and whatever. Is there just one Windows 10?
There will be different SKUs for professional. I don't know the exact breakdown.
Can you describe the differences in case people want to?
The question was, can I describe the differences?
I mean, just different.
I can't because I don't know the SKU differences. I don't know that we've actually even announced it yet. So it's something usually happens at ship, but there will be some differences.
Okay.
It generally deals with things like connecting to corporate networks and some other pieces and security. But to Jason's point, Narrator will work the same across all of them.
That's correct.
So yeah, so you'll have no loss in functionality from Narrator based on the SKU. Narrator is just going to work. So,
one more.
Okay, I have a quick question.
You're going to be last.
Apples to oranges, but I know like Apple, they have the apple.com/accessibility. Is there a resource like that for Microsoft where you can report things or find resources related to the Microsoft platform?
That's a good question.
Yeah, so there's Microsoft.com/enable. And Microsoft.com/accessibility. So both of those link to the same page. And I think there's will be ongoing refreshes of that content over time.
That's great.
Yeah, very soon.
Let's thank Brett.
Yeah,
thank you, Brett.
Thank you.
And we're done.
Okay.